talk to you a little bit about how to get God's attention. What does it take? How to get God's attention? What does it take? Now, there is a lot of ignorance concerning how to get God's attention. For example, self-mutilation. People do that thinking they'll get God's attention. Hinduism is very big on that. Lying on nails, crawling on broken glass, doing anything that you can to self-mutilate your body and in such a way get God's attention. Then there is the Islamic people who think that murdering women and children is a good thing and that gets God's attention. Then those folks who are religious think that they get God's attention by doing what they think are religious things, like forbidding to marry as priests or nuns. They think that's the thing that will get God's attention. Then there's the Jewish people who think that they have to abide by and observe certain laws. And not only are there Jewish people that do that, but there are Christian groups, Christians so-called, who think that if they keep and observe certain religious laws, that this is pleasing to God and that they will get God's attention by doing it. And that's the reason they would do that. There's people who worship and pray to ancestral. Everybody say ancestral. I have feel that anointing right now. And they pray and they worship dead spirits. And they think that they're going to get God's attention by doing it. But let's bring this down to a lot of people, like 90% of people who think that if they're sick, very sick, or if they're very poor, that God automatically comes to their aid just because they're sick or poor. You get it? So there's a lot of misinformation that is out there, and I would like us today to really look at how to get God's attention. The first thing I want to do is I want you to understand who Jesus is. Because if we can get Jesus' attention, we'll get God's attention. Amen. All right. So Jesus said this. He said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. Let's look at a couple of scriptures real quick. John 5:19. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. In John 8:28, Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. And then finally, he makes this amazing statement. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In John 14:9, he says to Philip, how long have I been with you, Philip? And you don't know me. He says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show me the Father? So what does it take to get God's attention? Based on these scriptures that we've just looked at, I could say this, that if you could get Jesus' attention, you've got God's attention. Because Jesus is the image of the Father. He only does what the Father tells him to do. He only says what the Father tells him to say. So Jesus is the one we're looking at. So this, we're going to go to the Bible now, and we're going to look at one lady who got Jesus' attention. And we're going to pick up the story in Mark chapter 5 and verse 21. Now, when Jesus had crossed over again by the boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, Jesus, he fell at his feet, and he begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. And so Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. So obviously, based on the scriptures we've just read, that the Father had said to Jesus, go with him. You agree with that? Because he only did what the Father told him. Got it? He's being obedient to the Father. He wouldn't have gone to Jairus' home if he thought the Father was saying, don't do it. So he is now following the will of God when suddenly he is interrupted. In verse 25, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And actually, that could be today's world. I mean, so sick for so long, 12 years she's been sick. She's gone to all the hospitals, all the specialists. She's seen all the doctors. She's paid a lot of money. And guess what? No better. No better. She's got worse. So now she's not only sick, she's also poor. And that's what I said. People who are sick and people who are poor often think that just because they have those conditions that they get God's attention. So this woman is sick and poor and very, very, very depressed and frustrated and willing to give up. She can't go another day. She's at the end of her wits. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and she touched his garment, for she said, if only I may touch the clothes or his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But the disciples said to him, do you see the multitude thronging you? And you say, who touched me? You know, people were bumping into Jesus just to see what would happen. Never mind the crowd pushing on him to try and get to him. His disciples were actually forming a chain to protect him, to stop the crowd from literally smothering him. They were pushing upon him. Many times he had to get away from the crowd and get into a boat into the water so he could speak to them, because the crowd were bumping, pushing, touching. There were inquisitive people, they were just curious and so on. But then there was also people who wanted to get to him because they knew if I could just touch him, I'd be healed. And the disciples said, you got to be kidding. You're asking who touched you? And he looked around to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And then he said to her, daughter, because I am the Son of God, you have now been healed. Oh, I thought that's what it said. Oh, your faith? Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. So let me give you a couple of pointers, maybe 8 or 9, that I picked up from this story. I've got a clock on me. I'll get done. The first thing is this. She heard about Jesus. Now, why is that important? Let me ask you this question. How do we get faith? By hearing. You see, sitting here today, you are actually going to get faith to believe God for various things, whether it's healing, whether it's peace, whether it's finances, whether it's deliverance, whether it's victory. You're going to get faith, because faith is going to come from the word that you hear. So the faith is in the word, and when you hear the word, faith comes. So she heard testimonies. She heard other people talking about Jesus and the miracles. And guess what happened to her? She got faith. You see, the scripture says in Romans 10, verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when faith comes, now she believes. It is impossible to believe God until you have faith. A lot of people are hoping that God's going to do something for them. A lot of people are hoping because of the condition that they're in, that God is just going to be sympathetic to them because of the terrible condition they're in, and God's going to do something. That's not faith. That might be hope. Now, hope has its place. Hope is a good waiter. If you have hope, you'll be patient while you patiently wait. But it's not a good receiver. Faith is the receiver. Hope is the expectation. But faith does the receiving. So now she believes. She's heard about him. Now she believes. Number three, she speaks what she believes. Out of her mouth come words of faith, because what's in the heart has to come out of the mouth before it produces. Correct? These are things that we have covered in the last 8 weeks. She speaks her faith. For she said, if I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Notice what she said. She said, if I can only touch his clothes, I will be made well. She didn't say, if Jesus only prayed for me, I'd be made well. If only Jesus calls me by name, I'll be made well. If only Jesus turns and looks at me and calls me by name, I'll be made well. No, no. All she said was, if I can touch his clothes, I'll be made well. Now, the interesting thing about that is, where would she get that from? Maybe some people had said to her, people, they just touched their clothes, just touch his clothes and you got healed. But you know that in the Jewish faith, that the priests used to have a rim around their garments, and that there was supposedly an anointing on that rim, and if you could touch that, you could get healed. And he was a rabbi, he didn't wear that a cloak like that, but it's possible that she knew that, and she thought, he's their rabbi, he's their priest, and there's all this healing stuff going on. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. So she said with her mouth what she believed in her heart, and that was, if I can touch. So listen, this is the way it went down. She heard about Jesus. She goes, oh my, that's amazing. If I can only touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. Now she's pushing through the crowd. If I can only touch the hem of the garment, I'll be healed. If I can only touch the hem of the garment. Now here's another problem. The issue of blood that she had made it illegal for her to be outdoors and in the crowd. Religious, under the religious laws, she was not supposed to be there. My question to you is, what is the barrier that you have to push through to get to Jesus? What is stopping you from getting through to Jesus? And you see, her words split the Red Sea for her to get through, because she wouldn't take no for an answer. When people would say to her, step back, don't push me around. Who do you think you are, little woman? And she's pushing. She may even got down on her knees. She might have been crawling on her knees to get to Jesus, but she would not be denied.
That's right.
And the whole time she was going, she was saying, if I could but touch his garment, I'd be healed. If I could but touch his garment, I'd be healed. She was speaking out what she believed. Jesus said this in Mark 11:23, if a person does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Jesus said that. So you can have what you say if you believe what you say. And this woman is saying it. Now from the Old Testament, we've looked at this scripture before, Proverbs 18:21. Solomon, wisest man who ever lived outside of Jesus, said this, death and life are in the power of the tongue, not the power of the gun. In the power of the tongue. So I could say this to you. Your words are for creation, not only communication. Mostly we use our words just to communicate. But I'm trying to introduce you to a new facet, a new level of power that maybe you didn't know you had. And it's in your words. And you can begin to create in your own life what you say with your mouth if you believe what you say. I have Jesus as a good authority on it. And I have Solomon as a good authority. And I have many other places in the Bible. So don't argue with me. I'm not in the mood. No. The Bible says it. That's so, isn't it? I mean, that's why we're here. We're not here to hear man's thoughts on these things. We're here to hear what the Word of God says. So your words have creative ability. When we go all the way back to Genesis, and we looked at this in the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1, there's seven times when God said, let there be. He created with his mouth, and every time he said, let there be, it was so. It happened. We move from there, and we go to Moses. You know, Moses decreed those 10 plagues. He said, this is what's going to happen. That's how they came in the earth. He simply spoke them into the earth. We have Elijah. Elijah literally caused a famine with his words. And then he called fire down from heaven with his words. Then he broke a famine with his words. He overcame armies with his words. He released the Samaritan city that he was in from the famine that was inside it because of the Arminians that were attacking it, simply because he used his words. Do you know that Joshua commanded the sun and the moon to stand still with his words? He commanded that. That's how it worked. David, when he had to deal with Goliath, what did he do? He spoke his victory into being using words of victory over Goliath. That's how he defeated Goliath. He defeated Goliath before he ever threw the first stone. He told Goliath, today I'm taking your head off. He didn't even come down with a sword, but he said, I'm taking your head off. I mean, that's bad news when he takes your sword and cuts your head off. Little twerp. You know, Jesus said to his disciples over and over, he said, the priests are going to crucify me, but on the third day, I'll rise again. Jesus spoke his resurrection into being. And we can quit and go home right now. Jairus said to Jesus, first, before the woman got there, come lay your hands on my daughter, and she'll be healed and she'll live. How many of you know that Jairus' daughter died? How many of you know they died? She died. And they came to Jairus and said, don't bother the master anymore. Your daughter is dead. And Jesus said, do not be afraid. Just believe. Believe what? Believe what you said. Based on your words, Jairus, I will raise her from the dead because you gave me the power to do it. You said, lay hands on her, she'll live, but she died. But Jairus, don't say anything. Don't say anything contrary to what you've already said. You've already given me the words that I can use to raise your daughter. If you will not fear, but believe what you said. The centurion came to Jesus and said, Jesus, you don't even have to come to my house. Just speak a word and my servant will be healed. Hallelujah! Jesus said about the centurion that he had the greatest faith in all of Israel. And Mary, standing right there with the 12 apostles, turned and said, what now? What do you say? Who's got the greatest faith? I'm your mother. Don't you talk like that in front of me. Yeah, Ma, I know. I know, Ma. I know, I know. And you, Peter, I know. On here. But this boy, he's got it. How come he's got it? Because he said. He simply said, speak the word. Just speak the word, Jesus. Just speak the word. He understood the authority of the spoken word, if you would believe it. Amen. Now, this is what the little woman was doing. Now, once she spoke the word, she had to act on her confession of faith. Point number four, she acts on her faith. As Hain aptly shared last week, you have to have action. Yeah. Right? I can. Just look at that, Hain. They can remember your sermon a week later. Yeah, they can't remember anything I say. Now, I bind those words in Jesus' name. I believe for a crop failure. They remember forever. And they doers of the word in Jesus' name. The woman has to have action after she has said. If she had stayed in the back of the crowd and said, if I can only but touch his garment, I'd be healed. If only I could touch his garment, I'd be healed. If only I could touch his garment, I'd be healed. Would she have got healed? No, ma'am. She would not have. She had to put action to her words and to her faith. She had to now go along with what she had said. As Pastor Cindy was saying today, if you want a harvest of finances or a crop to come in, you can't expect to call a harvest when there were no seeds planted. Plant the seed, your action, call the harvest, and it'll come. All right? So she had to put action to her faith. James 2:17 tells it like this. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. It is inoperative. Faith without action is dead. If you say, I believe that if I pray, God will hear me. If I pray, I believe God will hear me. If I pray, I believe God will hear me. Shut up already and pray. Okay? Just to be saying all the time, if I pray. No, you've got to actually pray. You've got to do something. You've got to put action to your faith. Number five, she received her healing. She received it. Verse 29 says, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. She received her healing. Number six, she felt in her body. She felt in her body. Listen to the verse. And she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Now, let me explain something here. Number six, for the mathematicians in the room, follow 1 through 5. I know that's a difficult concept, but hey, you came to church to learn. So you don't get to 6 until you've done 1 through 5. She felt in her body that she was healed, but she had to go through all the 5 previous things. See, people often make this mistake of waiting on a feeling to know that they're healed. Or waiting on your bank account to reveal your prosperity level. You're waiting to see some result in the natural realm, in the physical realm. So what is going on here is that you're using your 5 physical senses. We could call that sense knowledge, correct? Sure. 5 physical senses. Sight, smell, taste, touch, hearing. 5 physical senses to judge God's word. Faith is not a sixth sense. Faith is in the spirit realm, and your 5 physical senses are in the natural realm. When you pray to a spiritual God and you use spiritual forces like faith and you receive and believe you've received, it has nothing to do with your physical senses in the natural. It will work itself out in the natural, but initially it is in the spirit realm. Is this too deep for you? You following me? So, if God said it and I believe it, should I now judge that by what my body is telling me? You see, some people are still saying, yeah, but, you know, if I'm still got the pain, then I'm obviously not healed. Well, you just said it. Mm-hmm. You went for the pain, still got the pain, and out came your mouth, I'm obviously not healed. So what happens if I have the pain? What do I say? I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I believe it with all my heart. Jesus paid the price, and I received my healing. So that's mind over matter. It's not mind over matter. Your mind doesn't matter. This has got nothing to do with the mind. This is not the soul realm. This is not the physical realm. This is not the sense realm. Because you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you have a body. And it's neither the body that's confirming your healing or your mind, it is your spirit man. And if you don't understand that, that's part of the reason why you have not been able to receive from the spirit realm where God is. So don't let your five physical senses tell you whether you're healed or not. Your five physical senses will come in line with your faith if you've done 1 through 5. Now, faith demands or makes a withdrawal on the anointing. Simply, faith takes. Jesus, the Bible said, he knew. Jesus knew. There was an awareness. There was a sense, not from his physical, but there was a sense that anointing had gone out of him. Remember, she didn't touch Jesus. She touched his clothes. And Jesus was aware of the fact that an anointing, a power, had gone out of his body into somebody around him. This is where he turns to his disciples and he says, who touched me? And again, I mean, people were treating him like as a rock star, reaching out, touching him, asking for autographs, all kinds of stuff. They weren't touching him with faith, bumping into him, touching him with curiosity, but somebody touched him who had faith, who was making a demand upon the anointing. Now, you see, I know some people say, you can't make demands from God. I'm so glad you're here today. Because if you're open, perhaps you're going to learn something about that statement. So hold tight. Jesus said this in Mark 11:24. He said, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So Jesus is just saying, I know somebody, I made this up, arguing with me, that you can't make a demand on God. But Jesus just said, when you pray, who are you praying to? To God. When you pray to God, you have to believe that you received and you will have it. Okay? Now, sometimes I like to show you what's in the Greek. It helps to understand. The Greek word for the word receive, right there, believe that you receive, also means to take. And it is used at the discretion of the translators so that it makes most sense to the hearers. I believe, and I'd like to propose this, that the faith principle that Jesus is teaching right here was this. Whatever you ask for in prayer, you must believe that it's been granted to you. And you must take it. You must take it. Simply stated, faith takes what has been granted. Faith takes what has been granted. In other words, faith is not passive. Faith doesn't sit around waiting for God to do something to you. Faith goes and gets what God has already done. Let me read you another scripture. Jesus said in John 20 and verse 22, Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, when we pray for people to receive the Holy Spirit, they all get, every time. Every single time. Doesn't matter, anybody in the church, any of our young people, pastors, if they pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit, you receive. And if you're going to be baptized today and you haven't received the Holy Spirit, you will receive. When you come in that water, you will receive. You'll begin praying in tongues. Explain to you why. When Jesus said receive the Holy Spirit, he used another Greek word called lambano, L-A-M-B-A-N-O. It's from the Strong's. You can look it up yourself. The Strong's number is 2983. I'm giving you that information so you can know. I'm not making this up. You can actually go and read. And it means this, to actively take of. Actively take of. Or aggressively accepting what is offered. When Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit, He said to them, actively take of the Holy Spirit, aggressively accept what's being offered. At any of your birthdays, Christmas, whatever, somebody brought you a gift, and they handed you the gift. The polite thing to do is to take the gift and to say thank you. Correct? It's not polite if somebody's handing you out a gift. Remember, this person's decided to give you the gift. It's not polite for you to fall on your knees and beg them for the gift and chew their shoelaces and weep on their socks. Give me the gift. I've heard everybody's got the gift. Give me the gift, please. What do you want me to do to get the gift? And all they say is, nothing. It's your birthday. It's your birthday. At about that time, they put the gift down and they say, see ya. It's actually not polite to ask for something that is offered or already given. By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. It's actually not even polite to ask for healing. All you got to do is say thank you. You just have to receive it. Do you remember when my brother, apostle, pastor, the reverend doctor was here? And he had the sick people say, just say thank you. Just say thank you. Just say thank you. Remember that? What was he? This is exactly what he was doing. He was asking them just to thank God for something God has already done. The same thing is true with the Holy Spirit. You don't have to ask. Jesus said, I'll send you the gift. It's called a gift. I'll send you the gift of the Holy Spirit. When he comes, all you've got to do is say, thank you. Thank you is really an aggressive way, a non-passive way of receiving something that has already been given to you. So Jesus said, when you pray, believe that you've received it and aggressively take that which has already been given to you, which means you've received it. Amen. Therefore, if you have been prayed for and you still have pain in your body, don't turn around and say, I didn't receive it. Well, actually, it's true. But it wasn't God's fault. Because God gave it, and this is what you did. Not for me. You're going to have to force it on me. You're going to have to force healing on me. You're going to have to force prosperity on me. Oh, no. You're not going to get me that easy. Oh, no. I'm going to resist you as much as I possibly can. Oh, I know Jesus died. I know he was whipped for my healing, but I resist you. That is the opposite of saying, thank you. I receive it. Jesus did it. Jesus gave it to me. Everything grace has provided for you, you have to aggressively take by faith because God has already done it. Now, faith can only take what God has already provided. Faith does not turn God into a divine bellhop. Faith does not tell God what to do. And this is the problem where people say, well, you can't use your faith and demand that God does that. That is completely, you don't understand the concept of how this thing works. I am not telling God what to do. I am receiving what he has already done. Yes. He's already done it. And so I'm thanking him for it. And my faith receives what God has already done. And without faith, I can't receive it. It will not work. You understand? Okay. Now the Bible said there was a knowing that happened to her. Knowing what had happened to her, the scripture says. Knowing. This is where the mental kicked in. This is where the mental knowledge kicked in. Now she knew, but she had come down a line of faith, of spirit things and acting out and using her words. And then she was healed in her body. And now finally she knows. Now she knows that she's healed. So be careful. Don't try and put the knower in front of the faith. Don't try and use your knower to determine whether you've got it. Let it happen, and then your knower will know. Got it? All right, that's how it'll happen to you. You'll begin to get it that way. So she now knows. And the last thing she does is Jesus, when Jesus called her, the Bible says she came and she fell at his feet and she told him everything. Right? What was that? That is a testimony. She was giving a testimony about her healing. She had already received it. It had happened. She knew it had happened. She has now felt it in her body. She knows it's happened. And now she begins to testify about her healing. See, a testimony comes after your victory. To have a testimony, you have to have a test. And now you can talk about your test that you are now victorious over. And hear me now. The surest way to keep your healing is to tell as many people as you possibly can about it. The surest way to keep your salvation. Why don't you think through that one? Share it. Witness it. Keep it alive. Share it. Tell people what God has done and give him all the glory in your life. Amen? Let's give God praise. Come on. Thank you, Lord. All right, every eye closed.